We're going to be in the book of Judges, the 11th chapter. We've tried. That's what my desire is. I know we've spent a lot of time in Judges, but what we're doing is picking out principles for life. It's not just stories, history stories, which they are, but it's about how do they affect us? How does these examples that we study back in the book of Judges affect us? And I believe they do. I believe we can so learn the principles, and it'll help us. Now, today, it's just a little bit different. I don't know if we're going to get to the principle of the vows that we would make. God has some things in the Word of God to say about vows, the promises that we would make to God. And we may get to that, we may not, but I do want to talk about the vow that Jephthah made. And I think it's interesting. I want to share with you what I believe, and I'll show you some things and why I believe them. But he made a vow, and I believe, as I read it, I think it was a very foolish vow. But I'm not sure that probably me and you and others have made some foolish vows sometimes in a heat of a moment, in a time maybe when we was in trouble. I don't know whether you have or not, but a lot of times that's what happens is we get in trouble and we want God to intervene for us, and so we want to try to help him by trying to make a deal with him. And you and I know that that doesn't work. You don't make deals with God. God's a gracious, kind God. He wants to be. He wants to help us, and we don't have to promise foolish things for him to help us. So what we want to do, we're over in the book of Judges, 11th chapter. I want to read just a few verses here, and starting at verse number 27, "Wherefore I have not sinned against thee." Now this is Jephthah answering the king of Ammon. And he says, "Wherefore I have not sinned against thee, but thou doest me wrong to war against me. The Lord, the judge, be judged this day between the children of Israel and the children of Ammon." And what he's saying to the king of Ammon is this, you know, we covered those last week. He tried everything he could to avoid war. And I think that was a wise thing. He tried to work it out, tried to reason with this king. And it didn't work, but he said, finally, he just said, you know, we'll just put this thing in the hand of God. God is the judge. And that's a right thing to do. And let me say to you, that's a good principle for us to learn. Certain things maybe can't be worked out, but we certainly can put them in the hands of our God and let him handle it. Amen? Listen, down through the years, I've pastored for a long time, and I'm just telling you, there's some situations that you just have to come to the end of it and say, God, it's in your hands. I've done what I can do. I've tried to get things right, but it's in your hands. And I've advised, and let me just say this, I've advised husbands and wives over the years in very difficult situations. I'm not talking about under normal circumstances, but where a husband or a wife just did not want to live the godly life and do right, I've said to the husband and vice versa, I've said, get on your knees and turn her or him over to the Lord. I'm just telling you, I've advised that, and that's the best thing you can do. I've had husbands say to me, my wife does not want to live this way, my wife does not want to do right, and does not want to submit herself to my leadership. And I've said, do you really want a godly home? Because if you're just wanting it easy for you, forget it. But if you want to live godly, and you want to do right, get on your knees and turn her over to the Lord. And I'm saying that vice versa too. You understand what I'm saying? And it's a right, proper thing to do. And that's what he did here. He finally just come to the end of it, He said, we can't avert war. Let's just let God decide. He's the judge. Let him decide. And then he said, howbeit the king of children of Ammon hearken not unto the words of Jephthah, which he sent him. So he would not listen. He would not be reasoned with. And then the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. And he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpah and Gilead. And from Mizpah of Gilead, he passed over unto the children of Ammon. So he was going to war. Now, as he was going, he says, and it says, then Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon unto my hands, he says, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. And so that was the vow that he made. And you notice this was a vow that was made to God. That's important. He was talking to the Lord, and he said in verse 30, and he vowed a vow unto the Lord. This was something that he was saying to the Lord, and he was trying, I believe, as you see in verse 30, he was trying to seek the favor of God. Look, if you're doing right, you don't have to seek the favor of God. The favor of God is there. You don't have to promise him these things, foolish vows, just to get his favor. He's there. He'd already said the Spirit of God had come upon him. He knew the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God can't come upon a person without him knowing it, the presence of God. And so then he made this vow. I'm not downing the man. I'm just simply giving you what I believe he did. And then he gave this vow. He said, whatever comes out of the door of my house when I come back from victory will be yours, and I'll give it unto the Lord, and I'll offer it as a burnt sacrifice. A foolish vow. And then we find then in verse 32, it goes and skips then, and it says, so Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands. You see, he went to war, and God was with him, and he delivered the enemy into his hands. And he smote them from Ar, even till thou come to Minnith, even 20 cities, and into the plains of the vineyards, and with a great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. So the battle was over. He won the battle. God delivered the enemy. Now he faces a dilemma. He comes back, the Bible says, and Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances, and she was his only child. Beside her, he had neither son nor daughter. That's important. This was the only child that this man had. He didn't have another son. He did not have another daughter. This was it. And all at once, it says, it came to pass when he saw her that he rent his clothes and said, alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me. For I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. He was a man of his word. He was saying, you know what? I promised God, and I cannot go back. And this, of course, was troubled here. The daughter was the one that came forth, his only child. He had no other one. And he says, and she said unto him, my father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth. For as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even of the children of Ammon. So the daughter says, daddy, you promised God you ought to do what you said. That's what she says. And then he says, and she said unto her father, let the thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down upon the mountains, and bewail my virginity, and I and my fellows. And when she says, I and my fellows, I do not believe she was speaking of the male gender. She was speaking of the maiden friends of hers who was to go up on the mountains. And she said she wanted to bewail her virginity. And notice that that's what she was worried about. It was not bewailing her death. She was bewailing the fact that she was going to be a virgin for life. And that word bewail speaks of to mourn with tears, to weep. Now, I think that most of you here, you understand, for a Jewish lady to not be able to have any children was a disaster. It was her choice that she would love to be the mother of the Messiah. All Jewish women wanted to be the mother of the Messiah. Here, that absolutely, that even that possibility was going to be cut off. It would not be possible for her to be, because she was going to be a virgin for the rest of her life. And we'll look down through here a minute, and I'll try to share with you why I believe that's what happened. Now, remember also, Jephthah also would never have a grandchild. Would never have a grandchild. Now, I'm just going to say something to you. The extended family is a wonderful thing. Let me just testify. To have a grandchild is a blessed thing. I just testify. It's a blessed thing, and it's a wonderful thing. It prolongs your posterity. It takes your family down the road. And to have great-grandchildren is even greater. You have great-grandchildren. I look out here, and I was looking at Sister Carol back here. Carol's going to be a grandma here pretty soon. And I don't think you're going to find that she's sad about that. I really don't think so. I know Bobby and David, they've been happy to be grandparents. And I think any of you, and I think Tom and Stephanie over here, are pretty well looking forward to that, without a doubt. And the reason I'm saying that, but that was deeper than just, I'm going to have a grandchild, I'll never have a grandchild. There'll never be a possibility that my daughter could ever be the mother of the Messiah. And that was important, very, very important. It was serious business. And so he said, go, and he sent her away for 2 months. She went with her companions and bewailed again her virginity. Up on the mountains. Again, she was not bewailing the fact that she was going to die. She was bewailing the fact that she was going to be a virgin for the rest of her life. She would have no husband, and she would absolutely have no children. And it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow, which he had vowed, and she knew no man. Again, you notice that was brought in there. She knew no man. And it says, and it was a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite, 4 days in a year. Now, I'm giving you, and I understand, you know, there's been Bible scholars that have said, no, we think she was offered as a burnt offering. And that's, you know, that's okay. But I don't. And I'm going to give you some reasons why I don't. I want to share with you something. This offering was unto the Lord. Do you all agree with that? Would God accept a human burnt offering? No, absolutely not. In fact, I want to take you back to the book of Genesis. Just a moment here, get back. Or Genesis 22. I'll get there in a minute. This big print Bible don't fall open like my other one used to. But I'll get there. Let me see. In chapter 22, I want to take the time to read you something. It'll take just a little bit, but I want you to listen very closely. C- came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. Now, I want you to notice in that, there's so many places in the scripture, but God, the Bible says God tempted Abraham. That word tempting means that he tested him. He proved him. And I just want to make that that's a principle that I think most of us forget. But there is not a person, if you're a child of God, in this room that has not been tempted or tested. God tests our faith in many, many ways. And sometimes with very difficult things. But he's wanting to know, what are you going to do? Are you going to follow me? Are you going to walk with me no matter what? And he tests us. So he took Abraham and he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. He said, offer him as a burnt offering. Okay? Now again, let me say to you, he took his son there to do that. God ordered that. Now this is God ordering him to do this. Thank God he wasn't going to let him do it, but at the time Abraham did not know this. And he says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Abraham said unto his young man, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went forth of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Now, again, you guys have been around the scripture a long time. I'm not, but when he said God will provide himself, you understand what he's saying. He said God's going to provide the offering, but he was also saying he's going to provide himself. Which he did on the cross of Calvary. He offered his son, who is God the Son. So he provided the offering. Go over the eons of time from here to then. That was going to happen. Jesus was going to be the offering. And then he says they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son. He took the knife, he was going to slay him and then burn the offering, because that's what he'd been instructed to do. And he says, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God. Did you see? He was testing him. He said, I know now that you fear God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. So again, I just want to ask you, this is a story where God had ordered Abraham to offer his son. But when it came down to it, he only proved him and would not let him do that. Why? Because there is only one human sacrifice that God would ever accept, and that was the Son of God, Jesus Christ. No other human sacrifice could ever be acceptable unto God. And we know all the reasons behind that. He's God the Son. He came to die for that purpose, for that reason. And God would not accept a human sacrifice. So I'm saying unto you, I do not believe that she was offered as a and died on and was burnt. I do not believe that. I believe what she became was what God tells us to become, was a living sacrifice. God wants us to be a living sacrifice. Doesn't he not? Present yourselves a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's what God wants us to be, as living sacrifices unto the Lord. But I'm just sharing with you what I believe from the scriptures. I believe that she was not offered up, but she was and did become a virgin for life, was never married, never knew any man, and never had the possibility of ever having a child. Now, to maybe us in today's world, maybe we don't see that as some big deal, but let me tell you, it was a big deal. That was something serious, not to have a child to a Jewish. And there's people that I know of that have either had one child or maybe wanted more or never had a child, and for some reason God has not allowed them to. I don't understand all those things, but I've never seen a Christian woman that did not have a desire to have a child. It's just something I think that God puts in a woman. I think it's a special thing, and I think God puts that in us, and especially Christian women. We want children. That's a special, and she really wanted children because of what it meant. She would never, ever be able to be the mother of the Messiah, if you understand what I'm saying. So again, I say to you, I don't believe that she was offered, because God would never, ever, ever have accepted a human sacrifice. Couldn't have. Now let's go over to the book of Deuteronomy just for a few moments, and I'll show you, according to the scripture, Deuteronomy, the 12th chapter. We'll go there first of all. Verse 30. Let's listen to the command of God, the word of God. Verse 30. Take heed to thyself, that thou be not snared by following them. And he's talking about these nations that he's cast out before them. And he says, after that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination to the Lord which he hateth have they done unto their gods. For even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire to their gods. You see, God is commanding here. He said, you don't do like the heathen do. That's heathen worship. And they've taken their sons and their daughters and offered them up in the fire. That's absolutely condemned by God. So would he allow Jephthah to take his daughter and to offer her up as a burnt offering unto the Lord? I personally don't believe so. Look at chapter 18 of Deuteronomy. Verse number 9. When thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abomination of these nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or of observer of times, or of enchanters, or a witch. And he goes on, names other things. But you notice there, he condemns the fact that anyone would take their son or their daughter and use it as a sacrifice. So again, I just wanted to share that with you and tell you that God is a loving, wonderful God. And he would never, ever accept some human sacrifice except the one he did accept, which was his son. Now, I want to take you over to the book of Hebrews, just to kind of put a amen to this. Book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, please. Now, I want you to notice in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, I want to read to you, let's start at verse 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, which she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and of Samuel, and of the prophets. Now here is Jephthah mentioned in verse 32, right alongside David, and Samuel, the prophets. Now here again, I'm just going to say to you, do you believe if Jephthah had offered his daughter upon a burnt offering sacrifice to God, his name would have been placed in the heroes of faith? I don't believe so for one moment. So I'm just saying to you, I think we just got to take the Word of God, the Scriptures, and what our God would do. But I do believe she became just what she said. She was bewailing her virginity, that she was going to remain that for the rest of her life and would never, ever have the ability to have a child. And that was very serious business for Jewish women. Hopefully that's helped. And maybe I haven't changed your mind. I don't know what you believe on that, but I've showed you what I believe scripturally, and I thought maybe it would help us. All right. I want to go back now and want to talk to you. Don't have much time, but we'll take a few moments about vows or promises to God. I want to go back now to the book of Deuteronomy again. Should have kept you there, but 23rd chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Verse 21. I want you to listen to what God says about vows, okay? He says, when thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. You hear what he says? When you vow a vow to God, you better keep it. You shall not slack to pay it. And he says, for the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. So what he's saying is, if you vow a vow to God, you don't pay it, that's sin. Because you've told God that you would do something, and you refuse to do that. You vowed that you would do that, and you're refusing to do that. And it says, but if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin in thee. That which is gone out of thy lips, thou shalt keep and perform, even a free will offering, according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord thy God, which thou hast promised with thy mouth. We won't have time to go to more scriptures, but did you hear what he said? What we speak with our lips unto the Lord is very serious business. And he said here, he was talking about basically here a free will offering. This is a principle I've used for years and years. I want to be very careful what I promise God that I will give. I want to be sure that I'm able to do what I tell him I can do. The way I handle that is this. I say to the Lord, I will give each time that I'm to give exactly what you impress my heart to do. And that's exactly what I've practiced for years and years and years. Every situation, I say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to give? And it's never failed in my life that God has laid upon my heart what I should do. I've never had any trouble with that. But I've never said, oh Lord, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you $10,000 this year. I have just never done that because it's a possibility that I wouldn't be able to keep that promise. You understand what I'm saying? But at the same time, and we ain't going to have time to get to it today, we'll probably get to it next Sunday. But at the same time, there's nothing wrong with a vow. It's just that if you do vow, you should keep it. You should keep it. And I don't have time to go on because there's some other scriptures that really shed light on this. And we'll hopefully get to see that next week. But in all seriousness, folks, you don't have to vow a vow to get right with God. I mean, he does want us to take our bodies and present them to him as a living sacrifice. That's told in the scriptures. Everybody should do that. But to vow a vow that you're going to do this or give this or something, be very careful. I vowed a vow to God when I answered the call to preach the gospel. And I told him I would do my best. I never promised him anything of greatness. I said, I will do my best with your power to preach and to be used of God for the rest of my life as you see fit to use me. That was my vow. I'm going to keep that to the best of my ability. You understand what I'm saying? It's not according to what you think. It's what God wants me to do. But I'm going to do my best to keep that. Because why? It was a vow I made to God. Okay? And I better keep it. But you want to be careful promising things that you can't keep. You just want to be careful. And it's interesting, and I wish we had time. We don't. I gotta quit. But it's very interesting what he says about these vows. And he said, it's no sin if you don't vow. That's not saying that you shouldn't. It's just saying if you decide not to, that's not a sin. You've chosen that. And in fact, most vows that I find are voluntarily. They're vows that we decide that we're going to make unto the Lord. It's a voluntary vow. Nothing wrong with making a vow. But just be sure that you're able to keep it. Father, thank you so much for your love and kindness and goodness to us. Thank you for the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray.